Proverbs 21, verse 3. Y'all there?
Yeah.
All right. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, if you want to turn to Micah chapter 6, we'll read three verses there. Micah chapter 6. In the Old Testament now. Back toward the back. Micah chapter 6. When you get there, say amen or something.
Amen.
There, we're slowly getting there. All right. Micah 6, verse 6 through 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. There's a lot of other verses I want to read, but let me just get started here. Let me tell you, man is very inclined to justify himself through religion and good deeds. It's a thing that's in all of us to some degree. You know, to think that peace with God and others is based on some kind of a merit system where you do good, then you can do some bad. Almost everybody thinks that good behavior buys the right to indulge in a little bad behavior. And that's why sinners sacrifice.
Yes.
That's why sinners give to the church. A lot of people, that's why they come to church. That's why they attend church, but never really get in. That's why that's the explanation for all these people that are just on the fringe. They never get in. They never become a part. They're just there. They don't want to get involved. And they don't want to get too tied in. They just want to make a showing. Give a little money. Give a good word once in a while, maybe. Just something like that. Everybody's got it in them a little bit. You do. Tonight, I'll guarantee you, all of us, I've been thinking about this. We ought to examine ourselves. I've been looking at myself. I don't like everything I see. A person will most often justify his bad behavior by some good that he claims to have done. Now think about it. Think with me here tonight. You do some terrible thing and get found out, the first defense you're going to have is blame it on somebody else. But the next one is going to be, but what about, I did do this, I did do that. Don't forget now, I did do such and such. Good. You want to bring up the good to balance out the bad. To make up for the bad. Because you think that's the way it works. Somehow in us, we think that's the way it works. It's like a merit system. You know, in school, where if you're bad, they give you a what?
Demerit.
Demerit. That means no good. That means they take away. You take away from your goodness. Demerit means you've been bad. Now you get so many demerits, and then what happens? You get a de-whooping. That's what the way it was when I was. They didn't even do that when I was in school. They didn't do such things as that. They just whooped us. I mean, you got warned, and then you got whooped. That's the way it was. But when my kids were, what school they did go to, that was the deal. You had so many demerits, so you had so much bad you could do before you really got in trouble. And if you did good, you could get those demerits taken away, see? So I'm just telling you, that's the way everybody thinks. Even in small children, we see this notion of buying liberties with good behavior. I've been good. Can I have? If I be good, can I? And a lot of parents reinforce this terrible tendency in our thinking By training their children to think this way. Bribing them to be good in order to be allowed to indulge their desires. You want some ice cream? You want some candy? Take something that they really lust after and hold it before them to get good behavior out of them. Oh, it's bad, bad. We ought to do what's right, no matter how we're rewarded for it. Is that the way you're going to succeed as a Christian and live for God in this wicked world? Is only do the good that you're rewarded for. Exactly. Are you going to do good no matter what you get, how you get treated? Well, we need to start training the children young that this is not related at all. We're not training dogs. We're training children. You train a dog by giving him a treat if he does the trick you want him to do. But I remember trying to train a dog when I was a kid like that. And I found out you can't show them the treat before they do the trick. It doesn't entice them. It gets their mind totally off of what they're doing. They just want that thing. They want that treat. So a lot of people think themselves Christians. And they, at the same time, they imagine their loved ones and others in heaven because of the good that they've done. In spite of the fact that they rejected Christ and lived after their own selfish lust. Just because they were good, they did some good, they hold on to a false hope that turned heaven. Because they did go to church, you know, they did give to the church. They did say something nice about God one time. Don't forget that. But you better remember that God doesn't work that way. It's a universal error that leads many souls to hell. And it's certainly not the way God keeps accounts. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 20, there's a whole thing here where God's talking about warning the wicked. And you better warn him. If you don't warn him and he dies, the blood's on your hands. But if you warn him and he don't turn, then the blood's on his own self. But listen to this. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness. Now you got that? And commit iniquity. And I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Doesn't matter what good he done. He turned to sin. He turned away from God. He died in his iniquity. So it doesn't matter what good he done. That's not going to matter in the judgment when he's judged by God. He's already been judged by God. Now this deal here that people got in their mind, it's the reason behind the fact that so many people keep practicing religion while living in sin. You wonder how people can keep going to church and being fornicators and everything else. Just plain old hateful, mean, wicked people. Dishonest. Thieves. They go and they sit in church pews. You know why? Because they're making a sacrifice. They're sacrificing in order to please. Well, this is what a hypocrite is. It is someone who relies on their religious deeds to cover for their transgressions against God and others. They're counting on the fact that they're in church, that they go to church, that they listen to the preaching, that they give money to the offering, that they'll help the church, that they will help the preacher. But the churches have always made it far too easy for the hypocrites to hide in their midst. Church shouldn't be that way. Church ought to be guarded. The membership of the church ought to be a guarded thing. It shouldn't be easier than joining the Boy Scouts. Amen. You shouldn't be a member of the church unless your heart's right with God and you're living right. Because sacrifice while you're living wicked is an abomination to God. And it's an abomination to God because it's deceiving your own soul. And plus it deceives others who are watching you. And you're teaching others to do the same thing. and leading many astray. You know, if they'll simply attend the services, they can be a member and identify with the church in the community. You want to know why a lot of churches got such a stinking name in the community? That's why, right there. They just let anybody come and be a member. Now, I'm not saying sinners ain't welcome in the church to listen, but now it's a different thing when you're going to plug them in and you're going to put them to work and you're going to give them a job in the church. And you put the pressure on right away for them to join the church. Well, I've seen lots of churches that way where the preacher, I mean, if they come two Sundays in a row, he's on them, boy. Just like, y'all need to join the church. You ever thought about joining this church? I mean, we'd love to have you. Never been that way. You know, and Brother Owen, it wasn't either. You know, people would come and they'd come a couple of Sundays and say, they'd come to the preacher and say, oh, this is just what we've been looking for. We'd like to join the church. Not yet. I've told people before that wanted to come and join the church, you just need to come for 2-3 months and sit and listen and watch and see if this really is what you want before we put your name on the roll and make you a full-fledged member. So you can go tell everybody in town you're a member of this church. You say, well, that ain't the way it is. Yes, that's the way it ought to be.
That's right.
Church makes it too easy for hypocrites to sit in the pews. Yes. People that are just looking for a way to live wicked and console their soul and improve their reputation. Yep. If they'll sit and listen for 2-3 months and they still want to join, well, then all right. You know, once you're in and you really know what this is about and if you really agree with it and if you're really going to live. I mean, a church, that covenant on the wall means something. A church is a body, a group of people that have covenanted together. We've made certain promises that we're going to live according to certain standards of right and wrong. You know, you can't have a church that's made up of saints that live holy. And drunks that lay drunk. And people that whore around all over town. You can't have a church with members like that. Or it's going to cause more damage in the community and beyond than any good that it might accomplish. But if they'll come to church, we'll take them. And if they'll give money and help in other ways, they've earned a place in the church and the right to be known in the community as one of us. And I'm just describing what it is for most churches. And we're not this way. I pray we're not this way. If any way that we are this way, we need to fix it. If they'll give money and help in other ways, if this is the only real reason that many people give to churches, but seldom, if ever, come to the services or involve themselves with the people there. They're making a sacrifice to ease their conscience and improve their reputation. That's what they're doing. There is no other explanation and there's no other answer for it. That is what they're doing. And it's abomination to God. Now, do you understand that it is an abomination to God when people do that? They feel better about themselves and worry a little less about God's judgment because surely He'll remember the good that I've done. You know, I could have took that money and bought something for myself, you know. I've been wanting something real bad, that boat, that fishing pole, but I didn't. I gave it to the church. Surely God would remember that. What did I just read you in Ezekiel a while ago, chapter 3, verse 20? His righteousness that he hath done shall not be remembered. Now that's what God said. I'm sure I've known a lot of people who attended church regularly for no other reason than to maintain their reputation in the community and to calm their conscience for the way that they live outside the church walls. I know I've known a lot of people like that. There's a lot of examples. You know, and then by the way, I'm sure I've known many that have come to the altar in tears and make vows and promises for the same reason. Same reason. And there's a lot of examples in the Bible of people doing exactly what we're talking about here. You know, Saul, when he returned from slaughtering the Amalekites, He insisted that he had been obedient to God. And he rested his argument in what? That sacrifice that he had ready. And Samuel answered him and said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken," listen. Brother, can you preach on that Sunday? Listen. "To hearken better than the fat of rams." So we see that. Then this strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7. You're familiar with this story. In the twilight, in the evening, saw a young man void of understanding near her corner. That woman that come out to meet him. It says this in verse 14. "I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows." Now she is seducing this young man. She is a whore. She's got a husband who's gone. And she's out on the street. She's loud and stubborn, it says, and her feet abide not in her house. And she's out on the street trying to do wickedness. And what is she using? Now, we talked about peace offering last week. What is a peace offering? It's, yes, with the peace offering, you're saying, "I'm right with God and I'm right with everybody else. I'm at peace with God and I'm at peace with everybody else. My heart is clean, I'm right with God. Hallelujah. And in order to prove it, I'm going to do this for everybody. I brought a meal for everybody. I have peace offerings. This day have I paid my vows. I just been to church. I've been there. Oh, I heard the preaching. I agreed with every bit of it. I'm not just an old dirty prostitute out here." Yeah. But she had the attire of a harlot. And she was out at night. And out of the next breath out of her mouth was talking about the bed and how she had it ready. And how her husband was gone. He wouldn't be back. No problem there. What is she doing? Think about it. In her mind. I mean, she used her religious acts as part of her flattery in seducing this young man to fornication. She, in her mind, actually justified what she was doing with the fact that she had been to church and had done some good for others, that peace offering. Y'all getting this? Think about a mind that works like that. They're everywhere. Everybody's mind works like that to a certain extent. And it's wrong. And this is something that's abominable to God. Now she is telling him how religious she is. And how right this thing will be. But it says down there in verse 27. Her house is the way to hell. Going down to the chambers of death. It goes on and says, all that turn into her don't come back. I mean, they're gone. That's it. It's the end of the road. And yet she is using talking religion with him. That woman at the well, I didn't write that down, but she started out the same way. Here she is living in fornication, and she's going to justify herself in the eyes of Jesus by talking about religion. How much she knows about it. How much involved she is in it. Well, our fathers say that, you know, that we can worship here, but you say that we ought to worship in Jerusalem. Nah. Do you ever know people that can carry on a religious conversation, but they're as ignorant as they can be? This is exactly why there can be people in churches who do some of the most wicked things. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly, Psalmist said. Just because you're in church don't mean you're in heaven. Don't mean that you're in a place where sin can't reach it. Man, the church is full of it. Because it's full of people like this. Because it's not guarded enough. Anybody can come. Wants to make a sacrifice, anybody can. And we'll help them. And we'll praise them for it. And we'll encourage them in it. And people get mad at the preacher for demanding too much of people in the matter of righteousness and living right. Ought to be more patient with people. Ought to just put up with it. I mean, nobody's perfect, and you know we're all sinners, and you can't expect everybody to be. So then what we do is we encourage people whose hearts are not right and who don't intend to get right, we encourage them to go ahead and act religious and be a part of us and do what we do and come to church with us and sing these songs with us and pray with us and give in our offering and we'll call you brother. And they end up in hell. Now, what do you think, where are we going to be when we stand before God when we've had a part in that? Not supposed to be partaker of other men's sins. It ain't a merit system. When the people of a church value the religious offerings and good works of someone more than their obedience to the truth, they're adding leaven to the lump. And a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Isn't that what I read in the Bible? Leaven. Jesus said in Luke 12:1, "Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Beware of it. Beware of this deal of counting on your religion to cover your shortcomings and your sins. Beware of trying to do a little religion to make up for your little transgressions and indiscretions. Jezebel used hypocrisy and religion to kill Naboth and take his vineyard in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 9 and 10. And she wrote in the letters, Jezebel did, saying, "Proclaim a fast." Can you imagine a woman like Jezebel? Proclaim a fast. National fast. When you got a woman preacher advising people on religious matters, you got problems. Y'all know that. Here's a big one right here. "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him, that he may die." Now that's her words. That's what she said. God, blaspheming God, and calling for a fast, and all this religious talk. And what's her intent? To kill Naboth and take what he's got to give to her husband who's crying on his bed because he can't get it. Naboth won't give it to him. He won't sell it to him. Religion's mixed in a whole lot of things in it. Whole lot of evil. And no wonder that this world is always saying that, and infidels, that's one of their cries, is that religion is the worst evil that ever hit this world. I'd have to agree with them. Religion. Not the new birth. Not being born again. Not being saved from sin and redeemed and reconciled to God. That's a different thing. That ain't religion. Sacrifices. That was one of the things about the sacrifices. They were commanded, and God had a reason for it, and we've been studying that. And to understand that, see, when you read this woman in Proverbs chapter 7 here, and she says, "I've got peace offerings with me," you ought to understand what she's saying, and you ought to say, "Oh, what a hypocrite. If she's going to be that kind of woman, why don't she just be that kind of woman? Why does she have to drag religion into it and drag all the people of God into it? And drag the church into it. Why does she have to do that?" Because the devil gets more done that way. And it's a double whammy. Her house is the road to hell. It's the way to hell. She's going there. Whoever goes there with her is going there. And so, boy, that throws a bigger net. When you involve religion and the church and all the people of God in it. And Caiaphas the high priest, while he was doing his best to get Jesus put to death. We were talking about that on Resurrection Sunday here a couple of weeks ago. The day they judged Christ and condemned him. Caiaphas the high priest was doing his best to get Jesus put to death. And he was so careful while he was doing it about his religion. that he wouldn't go into the judgment hall with him. Listen to this. John chapter 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. You know, they was getting ready to eat the Passover, man. It's a big religious ceremony thing. And if they went in there in that judgment hall, they'd be defiled while they're murdering the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
How in the world? What makes this so easy for most people is because there's so little preaching on righteousness. There's so little demand made of people in churches by pastors and preachers to live right and to show them the difference between darkness and light, and holy and unholy, and profane and clean and unclean. There's very little teaching that shows people practical teaching on all that. So it's all really the way it is now. Everybody just does what's right in their own eyes. And it's always okay. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is clean in his own eyes. So you can be religious. They're saying now, you can be a Christian and be a sodomite. Y'all heard that? You can be a Christian and shack up. Yeah, living fornication. Any kind of fornication. Sodomy, just plain old fornication. Adultery, you can do all that. You're still a Christian. Brother one asked a preacher one time. Oh, he was a heavy-duty preacher. He preached repentance, and he believed in repentance and Holy Ghost conviction, and he didn't believe he believed in living right and all that. And he asked him flat out. He said, because he had him cornered. He said, do you believe that a sodomite can be a Christian? Can you be a Christian and be a sodomite? You know what his answer was? After he squirmed and wiggled and turned red and tried to crawfish around it, you know what his answer was? Yes, I believe they can. Now there's your problem right there. That's why the lump is leavened. That's why the churches are full of hypocrites. Because the pulpits are full of hypocrites. Well, we should all examine ourselves closely and be honest with ourselves about our motives for what we do or what we don't do. Why do we abstain from certain things? Why do we do the things we do? Why do you come to church? Why do you want to be a part of it? Why do you do your religious things you do? Why do you give? I think we all ought to examine ourselves. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. Isaiah 1, 11 through 20. Listen to what God says here. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Now, if God was asking you that tonight, what would your answer be? What could you honestly answer God? He says, why are you giving me all this money, all this service? I mean, what is this you're doing? Why? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Who told you to do this? Who told you that this is the way to please me, to be right with me, to reconcile yourself to me, and to be forgiven of your sins? How? Who told you this? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, all these religious things that the people were doing, all the things that God commanded them to do, but they're doing them with a wrong heart. They're doing them while they're living in wickedness. And that's what's plain here in just a second. They were being religious and living wicked. I cannot away with. It is iniquity. All these new moons and Sabbaths, all this religious stuff you're doing, it is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting. Think about that. The solemn meeting where everybody's so serious and reverent in the house of God while they're practicing something else outside the house of God. That's what's going on. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. My, I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. These people think they're doing something that pleases God, and He hates it. Wow. These people got to be blind to be doing such a thing. Are you, how conscious are you of what pleases the Lord? Really pleases the Lord? Or do the religious things we do, are we just doing them to be seen of men? We doing them because that's just what we do? Are we doing them because we go away feeling better? Are we doing them so we can tell somebody and show somebody what we've done and they'll think better of us? Think about it. And this is pretty serious probing here. Matthew 12, verse 32 through 34. The scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's what this scribe said to Jesus. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You got it right. You're on the right track. When you're realizing that all these sacrifices are not what it's really about, don't get the cart before the horse. Do sacrifice to God. There's other verses here I'm going to read about, yes, God desires. It's pleasing to God. It's a sweet smelling savor to God, but it has to come from a right heart and a right life. And the rest of it has to be right. It can't just be a religious thing you do thinking that God just wants to see you do this. He don't need it. He's sick of it all. He don't need fat and blood and beast and he don't need all that. He hates incense. It stinks. Get away from me. He wants you. He wants you to love him. And he wants you to do right. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. You do better to just sit quietly and listen for God. Read his word and take it into your heart. That pleases God more than if you give him some big bunch of money or if you vow to be faithful to do such and such. You ought to be faithful. We ought to give. But after we've surrendered our life and our heart to God and we're really right with God and we're serving God in righteousness, learn to do good. Stop doing evil and learn to do good. That's what God said he wanted. Stop all that. Stop being so churchy when you're really wicked. You say, I'm not putting down the church. I'm not putting down what we do. It's not wrong what we're doing. What makes it wrong is when we're not living right and we're trying to do it. Mm-hmm. We're not living right and we're just trying to carry on and keep everything going, just like this horse is still alive when he's dead. God wants our heart, and he wants our good works to glorify him. That's the way Jesus put it. The men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, now they don't do that when you're a hypocrite. People can see through that. They know when you're not living right, and then they come to church and see you doing that. How many times in my life have I heard that complaint from sinners? I'm as good as anything. That old boy up in your church, you don't know who's in your church. Ha ha ha. You don't know how they act out here. Even families will sit in church and, yeah, you don't know how my wife is, how my husband is. Kids will say, you don't know how my parents are. You know, well, that's it. Hypocrisy. Beware of it. Now, God wants our heart and he wants our good works to glorify him. Well, that requires our works to be accompanied by true holiness and righteousness in our dealings with others and in our conduct in the sight of other people. Our sacrifices are abominable if our walk is not right with God. If our heart's not right, we're living in continual habitual sin, it's a great detriment to the cause of Christ. If we continue to try to convince everyone we're right with God by our religious performances. I got more respect for somebody who just, some of these people like I've seen, well, the guy that wrote the book on dating, you know. I don't even know his name, Jeremiah something or another. I gave Kiss Dating Goodbye. He wrote that book, made a big splash and all that. He quit. He said, I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe in that way of life. I don't believe in God. He just quit. He said, I'm not a Christian anymore. I got more respect for somebody that'll do that than somebody that'll just keep hiding and keep doing, believing what he believes now, but trying to make everybody else think he's still the same. That's evil. Sacrifice and offering, vows and promises are only acceptable when our heart and life are yielded to God and our will is in his hands in all things. That's when sacrifices count. That's when your offering means something. That's when your vows mean something. What in the world did that woman in Proverbs 7 vow? I paid my vows. This day have I paid my vows. What did she vow? Well, I suspect she vowed just like I've seen lots of people do in church. Go to the altar, and when the emotions are running high at the end of a message, and weep and cry and pray and vow that they're going to live for God and do what's right. And within a week, they're in an awful state. I've seen it so many times. Performing religious acts or making a show of religion while living in continual sin is evidence of an unconverted and wicked heart. Did you hear me there? Just because somebody's religious doesn't mean they're a child of God. You need to write that down. You're going to meet a lot of people through your life that sit in church pews and pretend to be right with God. And everybody calls him brother or sister. And he's involved in everything. And then you find out what he really is like. You're going to run into that over and over and over. And like Jesus said, behold, I've told you before. It's going to happen. You're going to find them. They're everywhere. Church invites them in. The church attracts them on purpose so they can be members of the church. Just because somebody's religious doesn't mean they're a child of God. The wicked people almost always practice some kind of religion. Have you ever noticed that? They've all got some kind of religious thing. No matter how wicked they are. Proverbs 15 verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Now what have I told you tonight? Sacrifice without a without a right life, when your walk's not right, and you go on trying to do your religious performances, it's abomination in God's sight. If you're living right, your prayer is God's delight. Now, what does He want? He wants you to stop doing evil and learn to do good. And this whole world, this whole religious world now, is telling everybody that that don't matter, and nobody's good, and everybody sins all the time, and don't worry about it. And nobody's got a right to judge except them. It's like this girl we was talking about the other night. Somebody on Facebook. Always ranting against the Christians. Well, she's a Christian. But she's judging all the Christians all the time. And you know which Christians she's judging? The ones who make any stand for what's right. Or make any stand against something that's wrong. That's who she's against. That's who she's judging. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith. You know what a morsel is? Y'all know the difference between a crumb and a morsel? A morsel is moist. So a dry morsel. That's something like falls under your table like a piece of spaghetti and it dries out on the floor. That's better. A dry morsel. It's better and with quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A house full of sacrifices. All the best. Wasn't a sacrifice supposed to be the best? And he says a dry morsel is better than any of that. Proverbs 21, verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? See, God really doesn't like this. You think you hate religion, or you hear somebody say, oh, I hate religion. God hates it more than anybody. Religion. Yeah. People practicing religion, doing religious stuff while they're wicked. Well, you see a lot of it on your Facebook feed, don't you? Yes, sir, boy. I see them praising God and Mary and everybody else while living in fornication. I seen somebody here wanted to be friends or something the other day, and I just took a look. Well, yeah, here's something about God. Well, maybe he's a very good guy. Well, the next one's profanity. And the next one's profanity. And the next one's profanity. And then you got another little cute saying that's got some religion in it. But that's okay, ain't it? That's what everybody does it. That's just how it is. Well, somebody needs to be telling everybody, and we need to be knowing and understanding and reminded of what God says about it. That's an abomination to God. Remember that next time you see some of your friends on Facebook putting their religious things up and then putting some profane thing up right after. Remember that. Remember that that is an abomination to God, and that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, and how much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind. What do you think God thinks about those people that are giving him lip service and then profanity right out of the same mind? Very much more an abomination to him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 29. Now this is a good one. Here's the good word from God about this matter. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's how it is. That's how God wants it. That's the right way. That's the way that's accepted. That's the way that pleases God, that delights God. That's the way that convicts sinners of their evil ways. That's the way that has a positive effect on our families, our children, everybody that we meet. That's our witness. That's the power of our witness. That we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Don't neglect to do what God has commanded us to do just because some people do it in hypocrisy. Don't draw back from serving God and doing the things He's commanded us just because some hypocrites do it too and cause people to speak evil of us. Y'all hear me now? Don't you girls compromise on the way you dress and the way you present yourselves. Yeah. Just because there's some that might dress like you do, but they're rotten. Your righteousness is not that. God is your righteousness. Now, do you really got God or not? And He wants you to be a good ambassador for Him and not misrepresent Him. Don't decide what you're going to do or not do by what other people do or don't do. Do it because God says so. Because God wants it and because you do it to please Him. Those who worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness are not thought of as hypocrites by those who really know Him. You know the real deal when you meet it. Everybody does. Everybody does. Hope you got that. One more thing. Just make sure that you're not trying to justify yourself with some kind of sacrifice when you know your heart and your life is not right with God. First thing you got to do to be right with God is acknowledge your transgressions. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You can't live in sin and serve God. Can't do it. God won't accept it. People won't. The church may accept it, but everybody else won't. And it's to their own detriment for accepting it and condoning it and covering for you. This needs to be made plain. Amen. I wish I could make it plainer, but I think it ought to be pretty plain here tonight. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Live right and do right. Live right and be faithful to church. Be faithful to God's commandments. Do what He said. Worship Him the way He wants you to worship. Give, pray, live right. And your life will have meaning, and your life will have a foundation, and because you lived, the world will be a better place. There will be people in heaven because you lived that way. You live the other way, hell is going to be populated with people because of you. You need to remember that. What's it going to be like to realize that somebody's in hell and it was partly my fault? I had a part in it. I was one that gave him a push. No. Amen. I hope you all understand. Bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's so true. Lord, this is such a truth, and it's such a deep thing that we really need to plow deep in it. And I pray you'd help us all, me included, to search our hearts and find, Lord, if there really is any of this in us. And there is. There really is. Lord, help us to rid ourselves of it and to worship you in the beauty of holiness, in truth, in spirit and in truth. You seek such to worship you in truth. Lord, help us not to be doing things, anything, fooling ourselves and trying to fool other people and trying to fool you, trying to bribe you, trying to please you with our sacrifices and offerings. Lord, help us. Please watch over everybody now as we go home. Keep us safe, Lord, in all this rain. We love you. Thank you for the time together in Jesus' name. Amen.